How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily, February 15th, 2012, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Joined today, as we are every other Wednesday, by Josh Nason, as well as, now with the Bleacher Report, formerly of Heavy.com, Jeremy Botter is here on the line. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Jeremy, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to be on the show, finally.
Have we ever had you on the show?
No, I can't believe it. It's been years and I haven't been on the show yet.
God's name, is that possible?
I have no idea.
Well, you're here now. And Nason, you're here.
I'm here. I'm glad to finally be the one to bring Botter into the fold. I mean, my God, how many years does a guy have to be a member of the Wrestling Observer community before we bring him on? Jeez.
Well, depends on the member. Some will be members forever.
And never get on. That's probably a good idea for the listening public, huh?
That's right. All right, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Jeremy, I want to start with you. UFC on Fuel is tonight. Some people get Fuel, most don't. Do you get Fuel where you're at?
I do not. And I know that doesn't surprise you because it seems like hardly anybody actually gets this station.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. What are you thinking about this show?
You know what? To be honest, I mean, it's a Fuel show, which means hardly anybody's going to see it, as we all know. I, myself, am going to have to either go to a bar or to a friend's house to see it. But I'll tell you what, from a fight perspective, this is an awesome show to me. You know, I mean, it doesn't have a ton of huge names on it, but it does have a lot of fights that I think are going to really, really be good. A lot of fun fights.
And, Nason, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree. The amount of people that are going to see it is pretty minimal, and probably a little bit we'll talk about why that is and what that means, if that's a smart move. But I think with Ellenberger and Sanchez, overall, I think that's going to be a really fun fight and really interesting listening to Sanchez talk over the last week or so about some of the things that's kind of been going on in his life and some really bad stuff that's been happening. He's coming, you know, been trying to overcome. But yeah, there's definitely some fun fights. Not a lot of guys on the, say on the main show that are, you know, that roll off the tongue with casual fans, but there's some interesting fights. A lot of guys are undefeated going at it, and a lot of finishers on this main show. So yeah, overall, I think it's a good show, and yeah, I guess we'll just have to see how it turns out and how people see that. I think that'll be an interesting thing as well.
All right, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do a preview of the top two matches. If you want a preview of all of the television matches, you can go to WrestlingObserver.com. Most everybody has their picks up. I didn't. I won't lie. But I'm going to do the top two matches here. So we're going to start with Jake Ellenberger and young Diego Sanchez, coming off a rough patch in his life, to say the least. And Botter, your prediction on this fight?
I'm going to go with Jake Ellenberger. And I say that with the preface that Diego Sanchez is very hard to finish, is one of the toughest dudes in the UFC and has a gas tank that lets him go forever. Jake Ellenberger, however, just, man, this guy, for being somebody who's still fairly unknown, has a ton of skill and a ton of potential, and more importantly, a ton of punching power. The way I see this going is either going to a decision for Ellenberger, depends on, you know, if he decides to employ his wrestling game. If he decides to stand and strike, I do think he's going to open up Diego with a nasty cut at some point. Diego has been susceptible to that throughout his career, and Ellenberger has the power to do it. I think you're either going to see a decision or a cut stoppage from Jake Ellenberger.
Nason?
Yeah, Ellenberger is, I think, kind of been really flying under the radar overall with you know, with all, you know, the Nick Diaz types and those type of personalities. And, you know, Ellenberger's got 5 straight wins, 4 of them been by TKO or knockout, obviously coming out of the big win over Jake Shields, which, you know, some people can say it's an early stoppage. I've seen that fight several times, and I don't think it was. I think he simply won, and he's that good. He's got he's got a good look to him. I think he's on a real good streak here, and I think he's going to benefit the most from Diaz being suspended for the marijuana metabolites deal. And if he wins tonight, I don't see how there's any possible case you can make for him not getting the next shot at Carlos Condit, assuming that Condit will fight this summer and not wait till GSP, which I think would be a good move. But I'm going to pick Ellenberger to win as well. Sanchez, based on what we've seen against guys like, you know, the Martin Campman fight, I think is the one that stands out the most to people, is that he's willing to stand and throw. But that might not be the best thing. And, you know, I guess we'll see. We've heard about this things with fighters before where, you know, they've had incidents and a lot of out-of-cage things are distracting and they still come out and don't put on a good performance. But I just think that, It's not really necessarily Sanchez's fault, but I think Ellenberger is a level above him at this point in his career, and is going to have no problems with beating Diego Sanchez and getting a title shot, which I assume we'll hear about after the show tonight.
Well, several things. First off, I am predicting Ellenberger. I think he's going to win a three-round decision. As far as a potential title match, as of this morning, Condit was going to wait for GSP. That could always change. But, I mean, to me, if you're Carlos Condit and the offer is made to you, risk your title shot against Nick Diaz. At least you know going in that, well, I beat this guy once, and a lot of people are going to buy this show. I'm going to get a good payoff. Risking your title shot against Jake Ellenberger this summer, never in my right mind, if I were Carlos Condit, would I accept that fight. Jake Ellenberger and Carlos Condit is not going to do any business whatsoever. You're risking your title shot against a guy that, I mean, I've said this a million times. Jake Ellenberger could go in there tonight and absolutely obliterate Diego Sanchez. Absolutely just obliterate him and look like the most dangerous fighter on the planet. It doesn't matter because nobody gets fuel. And yes, all of your hardcore fans are going to hear all about this fight if that happens, but your average person on the street, Jake Ellenberger is nobody to them tomorrow, no matter what happens. So to me, I don't think it really matters what happens in this fight because I don't think Ellenberger's getting a title shot anytime soon. Botter?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, from speaking to Carlos Condit and his camp over the past 24 hours, I can tell you that there is no chance that Carlos Condit, you know, I mean, unless they drastically up his pay, which they've already done once in the past 2 weeks, unless they do it again, I cannot see him in any case risking that title shot against Jake Ellenberger. Like, for all the reasons that you said, Brian, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to go in there and with the potential, a great potential of losing to Jake Ellenberger, you know, a second time around. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and I don't see it happening. I think Jake's going to have to fight once more and then potentially wait for the winner of GSP and Condit.
Anything to add to that, Nason, before we go into the next fight?
Yeah, I disagree with you both, which is perfect. This is good. I think he has a lot to gain, and granted, I did not speak with his camp, so Botter definitely has a one-up on me there, which is good. That's why he's a national writer for Bleacher Report, Pitts. Here's what I think. I think Condit, you know, I thought he won that fight with Diaz, but I also thought he lost a lot of steam with that win, that a lot of people, you know, didn't like the way he won, and they don't understand the whole thing about fight strategy and so on. And I think he lost a lot of people along the way, partially because, I mean, even Sanchez, who's a teammate of Condit, essentially was ripping on how he won the fight and said that, you know, he won, he was glad for him as a teammate, but as a fan, he didn't like the fight at all. And actually, he was complaining to Ariel Helwani a week ago about, I bought this pay-per-view, and I didn't even really think it was that great. So that was rather interesting. But I think that he could really gain a lot from defending that title one more time and kind of shutting some people up. And again, we say November. This is assuming GSP is good to go by November, which, again, it's safe to assume, we think, but you never know what happens. And it's also February 15th. I mean, we're going to wait that long for that title to be defended, and I don't know. I understand what you guys are saying about the business thing and Condit waiting, but as we have seen in this sport, especially in the welterweight division, that stranger things have happened. So I think he should defend it, and I would not be a bit surprised if things change later on this spring and summer, depending on what happens with other fights and such.
Stefan Struve and Dave Herman. Nason, I'll let you start.
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. Struve is somebody that is, you know, I wrote in the review today, has struggled for consistency. And people are, you know, saying, well, he's very young and all this stuff. But at some point, you want to see him pull together three or four wins in a row against, you know, bigger competition. It seems every time he gets a shot, Roy Nelson, in you know, Travis Brown, not saying Travis Brown's a, you know, top five heavyweight or anything like that, but it seems every time he has a chance to kind of make a leap up, he takes a step back and often stepped on his butt being knocked out. So he's got a shot against Dave Herman, who really is someone that is kind of an unknown to most in that he's only had one UFC fight, and that was last summer, and then the whole thing with the supposed positive marijuana test that apparently wasn't positive, that took away a fight with him and Mike Russo. So I don't know what you really have with Herman in terms of UFC level. I'm picking Herman to win in this fight just because of that inconsistency from Struve, but You know, he's coming off that submission win against Pat Barry, who I'm still kind of iffy on as far as where he stands on things. Yeah, I'm picking Dave Herman to win this one.
Botter?
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite. Josh, I'm going to go Stefan Struve. And I do agree with the fact that, you know, he is inconsistent, has been inconsistent. You know, but I also point out, as you said, that he is young, has plenty of time to get it all together. He's still adding mass to his frame. This time he came in at 256 pounds. He's considerably bigger. And the one big advantage that I give him in this fight is he's got a pretty good chin. He's been able to come back from just taking some horrific beatings to get some wins. And his submission game is just on a different level than Dave Herman. Dave Herman actually says that, what is it, jiu-jitsu's fake, or he doesn't believe in it. He thinks it's a myth, right, which I think is ridiculous. You know, and he hasn't had the best time. You know, I mean, he beat Ina Mo, but, you know, what does that really mean? I mean, Stefan Struve is a very, very good guy on the ground, off his back, and has those long limbs that'll enable him to get guys, you know, in triangles, whereas most heavyweights, you know, wouldn't be able to get guys of Dave Herman's size in triangles. So I'm going to go with Stefan Struve. But the most interesting thing to me, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but Dave Herman actually actually dyed his entire body hair black.
Really?
I don't know if you guys saw that. Did you see that picture?
I didn't see the picture, but I know that Dave Herman, when he was talking about this fight and how they're both giants, he said that he wanted to feel like he was an even bigger man, and so he fought a lot of small guys in training, which I'm sure... Here's the thing with Dave Herman. I think Dave Herman is a lot better on the ground than he lets on. He's never been submitted... I think it's a gimmick. This jiu-jitsu is, what did he call it? Trickery? I think he called it trickery.
Yeah, trickery.
It is trickery. Yeah. But I think, listen, you know, Stefan Struve has got a longer reach by like a half foot because he's a giant. But he is also facing a giant. I think that Struve could submit him. But I think that Dave Herman is just, I think he's a better striker. I don't think he's going to get submitted on the ground. And I am picking Dave Herman in this fight. Plus, he's been fighting smaller men, so he feels like a giant. How could you vote against this guy? That's my thought.
It's true.
All right. This show in itself, we talked a little bit about it with Botter, but I wanted to get your thought, Josh. The very fact that... Ellenberger and Sanchez, your argument is that this is a great fight, and what is it doing on Fuel TV? I don't know if necessarily this would even be a strong semi-main on your average pay-per-view, but I want to get your defense of this fight and your thoughts on it airing on Fuel TV, seeing as that you see it's a great fight.
Well, I think by judging over the past year of some of the fights we've seen in co-main event positions, and even third from the top, I think this one could probably hold its own. You know, we've seen, was it Brian Ebersol and Dennis Hallman third from the top last August in Philadelphia? I remember that one. So, yeah, I think it could do well. I think this is a sacrifice. We know why. Listen, when this deal was signed, that, you know, part of the deal is they want to get Fuel in more households. I believe right now it's, I think, between 37 and 39 million are available households in the United States, and that includes, you know, DirecTV and Dish and all that. So the only way to actually drive programming or drive interest and demand is to actually put original programming on there. And in order to do that, you know, UFC Tonight and Ultimate Insider aren't good enough. You actually have to put live events. So I think this will be a very interesting test tonight, because I think tonight is when people are actually going to start to get pissed off, because this is the first live original event that's going to be on Fuel when a lot of people are not going to have access to it. So the question is then, do they simply, you know, how do they watch it? Do they to do it, you know, Jeremy suggested, find a bar or go to a friend's house or so on. Do they go streaming? Is that really what the UFC really wants? Or are they expecting people to just sit and not watch it? Because realistically, you know, compared to FX and Spike, you have 60-some-odd million people that can't see it. So I may not agree with it, but I understand that in order where they want to be in a year when some of these contracts are up and they can actually try to go to Comcast in a little bit broader scale and say, listen, we want these guys, we want Fuel, we want you to carry Fuel, and this is how we're going to do it. I understand why in a situation like this that they would put shows like this on. So, and we're going to see a little bit more of that, and then in the future they already have more planned for Fuel. So, yeah, it sucks in a lot of ways, but, you know, it's part of the business end of this beginning part of the relationship.
Botter, are you one of those guys that hosts all the pay-per-view parties at your house?
No, I can't say that I am. I mean, well, not in the past 2 years at least, because I've been going
busy,
to the events.
Yes.
But,
yes.
You know, I mean, I used to be, you know, we used to have, I mean, not every pay-per-view. I can't sit there and say that I've hosted parties for every pay-per-view. But, we have done stuff in the past where, you know, big fights, yeah, we'll have a bunch of people over. This card probably doesn't fall, actually, it does not fall into that category. I asked around a couple of friends tonight to see if they'd be interested in watching this fight, and they didn't even know that there was a fight, and then when I told them who was fighting, they weren't really all that interested. So I don't know what that says.
Well, I'll tell you
like
what
Josh,
that says.
You know, I mean, I understand why they're doing it. I understand why they're putting these cards on Fuel. There's going to be six of these on Fuel this year. So they're not giving it up. They're going to keep pushing it down people's throat, keep trying to get people to call their cable providers. It's a risk, but, you know, it's one they feel like they have to take.
I don't want to gang up on Nason here, but I'm going to. Nobody, the three of us are the kind of people that would host a pay-per-view party for our friends. And we'd get the event, call friends, see if they'd come over. But to you, to the friends that actually come over, to the average people that that Botter is talking about here, I mean, literally, if you had like the actual numbers and you could prove to me that more than 100 people in the entire country called their cable provider to get Fuel because they were so angry they couldn't see Ellenberger versus Sanchez, I'd give you like $100 because. This is a fight that your average fan doesn't care about at all. Nor do they care about it enough to actually call their cable company to try to get Fuel TV. If I need to get Fuel TV, I have to switch to a dish and cancel my current cable package, or I have to switch to Fios and cancel my current cable package. Neither of which, if you've ever had to deal with Comcast or probably any other satellite or cable company, is really all that easy or convenient a deal. So for me to do that, to get this fight, yeah, maybe I would, and you would, and Botter would. But that's like three. That's 97 remaining people in this entire country that are going to do that for this show. If this were a case where, as fight fans, we got 12 pay-per-views a year and that's it, and all of a sudden they decided to put six of those pay-per-views on Fuel, then yes, the Fuel offices would be lit up. The Comcast offices, the DirecTV, whatever doesn't have Fuel, they would be lit up with people calling to get access to these shows. But when you have a million shows every single year, you know, if you're sick of fighting, you can watch Spike TV. There's fighting on all the time. There's shows on Fox and FX, and we're going to have live fights every Friday coming up in a couple of weeks. Nobody is calling to get six extra shows a year on Fuel that are headlined by Ellenberger and Sanchez. I you cannot convince me otherwise. But, Nason, go ahead and try.
Well, first of all, they wouldn't necessarily just call. There's a certain thing, you know, internet. I don't know. I assume you've heard of that. And they actually have forums online.
Have
and,
you seen
so
our
on.
Site? Of course I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. So I've actually filled out one of these, you know, many petitions, wherever you call it online to submit. I have no idea where they go. But again, you said casual fans. Well, you know, with, again, 37 million people, there's a lot of hardcore fans in there too that are not going to be able to see this and they're going to be pissed off and all that stuff and may submit. So it's interesting to see what, like, if the UFC, like, you know, and Dana White via Twitter just like, oh, you can't see it, you know, bug your cable provider or something like that. I mean, earlier this year he did the thing where, you know, just what do you say? Just switch to DirecTV and Dish TV. Well, for myself, I can't get this event, and I live in an apartment, so I'm out.
Now you're really in trouble.
Yeah, I'm really in trouble. Yeah, I have no idea what I'm going to do. But so this, it's, you know, I just want to see how they try to build the groundswell of because again, as Jeremy said, there's going to be six of these events on per year. They're not just going to be like, ah, whatever, these events are over there. I mean, UFC is not going to let this go, and they're also not going to make these available streaming on their website. And so this is the only way they're going to be able to get this. So I think your hardcore fans, especially, you know, if this show is good, and what you don't want to have them do, if you're a person that can't get this, is all of a sudden escalate the level and put better fights on these shows, and then people are going to be like, well, what is going on here? I can't get this. Then they're going to be more angry. So I understand what you're saying, but I think you're also kind of just leaving out the fact there's a lot of people that do like to watch these shows that are not going to be able to. They're going to be like, this isn't right, and how am I supposed to watch these?
Yeah, but let me add one thing here, and then I'll let Botter talk. Here's the problem with what you just said there. Yes, there are hardcore fans that really want to see this show. I'm not saying that there are not. However, these hardcore fans are the ones that when they can't see this show, their options are going to be, I either find a stream or I call my cable provider and try and switch to a dish. They're all going to find a stream because they're hardcore and they understand this. That's my argument. Bod, or anything to add?
I agree with that. I think you're going to see a significant rise in the amount of streams for tonight's show as compared to like your normal FX or, you know, your old Spike TV Ultimate Fight Nights. I think you're going to see a drastic rise. I think there's going to be a lot of people streaming this. You know, from my own experience, I have called Comcast here in Houston who told me that they have no plans to add fuel anytime in the future. You know, we have a ton of, you know, I mean, I do some stuff for the Houston Chronicle, and I've got a ton of Houston fans asking me where they can see the show, and, you know, what am I supposed to tell them? You know, call your cable company? Well, that's not going to work because they're not going to add it. It's a calculated risk by the UFC. It's going to be interesting to see if it pays off. We've already seen the fuel numbers rise quite a bit over the past, you know, 2 months, even just since January. But are they ever going to rise to a point where, you know, they're on Spike TV levels? I mean, I don't know that they ever are, even over the course of the 7-year contract with Fox.
Well, let me add one thing, then we'll go back to Nason here. Listen, I understand what they're trying to do. And obviously, in theory, it's a great idea. We need to get fuel into all of these homes. We'll put some shows on fuel. We'll get people calling in. Let's build the fuel universe and everything like that. That's all a great idea. But to me, let's look at history. How much stuff was available for hardcore fans on HDNet for years? And HDNet is still in however many homes it is. I even called. I actually got off my ass and called to get HDNet on Comcast. And eventually it actually ended up on Comcast, which was astonishing. But the point is, HDNet today is still nowhere near 99 million homes. It's nowhere near 70 million. It's nowhere near 60, 50, 40. I think it's still right around 30 million. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. I can't remember what the exact numbers are. But that's a station that has had big time MMA events on for years. And there has not been the groundswell to get that in any more homes than probably fuel is in right now.
What big time events has HDNet had on?
They have fights on all the time. They have fights from Japan.
Said,
they have.
You said big time. Can you name me two?
Yeah, the Dream events, live Dream from Japan.
Other than that one show, anything else?
They do Dream all the time.
Okay,
No one
cares about Dream. But okay, just honestly, I mean, it's more people care about the UFC than they do Dream. I think
more people care about Ellenberger and Sanchez than a big Dream event. I think that could be argued.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Butter, you're absolutely the tiebreaker.
I'd have to say there are more people that care about Sanchez and Ellenberger just because of the UFC brand. Brian, I think what you've got is I think there's two subsets of hardcore fans. I think you've got hardcore UFC fans who will also watch Strikeforce.
Sure.
And then you also have an even smaller percentage of hardcore fans who will watch events from Japan or Iceland or wherever, Australia, wherever they're coming from. I think there's just two different versions of hardcore fan.
Well, that's probably true. Nate, anything else before we move on to UFC in Japan?
No. No, just the fact you are putting your place for once is
how dare you? It's just a disagreement. I could still be right. We'll get Todd talking about this tomorrow because he watches those events from Iceland.
I think you might be the only one.
UFC in Japan, 7 fights, 4 hours, 10 Eastern to 2 Eastern. Bada, what are your thoughts on this?
Man, I got to be honest. I'm glad I'm not on the East Coast. I'm glad I'm A, not on the East Coast, or B, going to Japan for this card like I was originally going to. Because, man, both of those time zones are going to suck. That is a long event, and it's either starting late at night if you're on the East Coast, or it's starting super early in the morning if you're in Japan. I've heard a lot of people talk about how they wish all cards for 4 hours. I don't think that I could personally handle a four-hour pay-per-view every time out. It's cool for once, you know, and it kind of mimics the Dream and Pride, you know, their show length and all that, but I don't think I could handle it every time out.
Nason, I know you're excited.
Well, yeah, being in the East Coast, the region of pure dominance in all North America, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. is I'll watch. It'll be late. It's going to be a really late night, even at 1 a.m. I mean, I just remember when, and Brian, you remember this, and Jeremy, actually, you remember this as well, when UFC came to Boston,
oh my God,
August 2010 for 118, And remember how late that press conference was afterwards? It was almost like 3:30 in the morning and that thing wrapped.
And then I had to go to a show, and I think I vomited afterwards on top of all that.
Yeah, that was super late. I mean, I think I got back to the hotel because I couldn't find a cab to get me back to my hotel. And I think I got back to the hotel about 4:15 in the morning, and I just wanted to kill myself. It was horrible.
Sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are late nights. I don't really know what they're I guess they just want to get more Japanese fighters on the pay-per-view card, but if really your audience is North America, what does it matter if you're going to be able to see the undercard on FX or Fuel or something? Well, no one will see Fuel, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, FX or something like that instead. So I don't really know. I don't know if it's maybe this is, the pay-per-view numbers going down and things like that. If they're trying to, every different angle, let's try another hour and see if things jump or something along those lines. But the one thing that's tough is your main event is going to be going on at, 1:30 or 1:15 in the morning, U.S. time. I think it's almost an acknowledgement that
Eastern time,
right. So it maybe it's saying to, the ESPN types and things like that where, that's obviously out of their news hour. You're kind of going to the next day that they're really kind of like maybe acknowledging that it's not going to get covered. I don't know. It seems like that's a really late night for supposedly a major sporting event or a major fight. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's planning to give more value. But when I first heard it, I wasn't like, all right. I was like, that's
yeah, but you know what, though? First off, I consider Pacific time U.S. time. But even if it is a late night and everything like that. But you know what? On the East Coast, they go 10 to 1 anyway. That's a pretty late night for a sporting event. So what's it's not even going to be an extra hour anyway. If the main event goes into the ring at 1 a.m., realistically, the show's probably going to be over by about, 1:20, 1:30. So it's not like it's actually going to 2 o'clock, unless you want to stick around and watch some of the prelims that they are afterwards. But I don't know why, for some reason, Comcast, the other day, when I ordered 1:43, it aired from 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. And I thought, my God, maybe they're going to air all the prelims here on pay-per-view prior to the actual official broadcast. They didn't. They aired like some press conferences and some weigh-ins, everything like that. I don't know why, if they're paying for the satellite time and they're paying for the pay-per-view block, why not just air all the prelims on the pay-per-view channel as well, so I can just turn on the thing at 4 o'clock and watch all of the fights? What's the big deal? You're really going to take numbers away from FX by doing that, or from Facebook? I think they may as well just have all of the shows. Just, if you want to tune in at 7 for the main card, go for it. But if you want to tune in at 4, they're available for you. You paid for it. They paid for the time. Why not do it? Bod, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I love that idea. I think I've heard you mention that before, and I really, really like that idea of being able to just throw on the pay-per-view channel and watch every fight on the show. I don't know that they'll ever do it. I think maybe there's something in their deal with Fox that, prevents them from doing it. That would probably be the only reason they don't do it. But no, I mean, Dana, Dana wants to get as many of these fights as possible in front of as many fans as possible. And that's the reason they went to Facebook to start streaming them. That's the reason they're airing them all on Fuel now. He wants to get them all out there. I think it's a great idea. Put it out there on pay-per-view. Let, like you said, if you want to tune in early, make it like the old, remember the old days of WrestleMania when you would order WrestleMania and there'd be like a 6-hour preview show. Do something like that. Show previews, show all the fights, show everything. You feel like you get a lot for your $60.
Mason?
I think maybe it's just because the advertisers, if they say we have exclusive with FX or something like that they can't stream them other places. And I don't know, again, logistics, if they can stream commercials in two spots, if they're okay to do that. Common sense would be like, yeah, why not? But I don't know if there's some sort of reason or something like that. But I don't know. Maybe that'd be a good question to ask ask Dana at one of these post-event pressers why they don't do that. He seems to have good answers to those type of things. So maybe they just haven't even thought of it. There's some sort of technical reason why they can't.
I'm going to put you on that, Nason.
Okay.
All right. Before we go here, I know that, Bodder, you saw Hammer. The Hammer. What'd you think about it?
Yes. I saw it, I want to say, probably 4 months ago at
a screening at one of
the UFC events.
Nason saw it last week. So we'll talk to him, too. But, Bodder, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it at a screening, and to be honest, I mean, I wasn't impressed. We all know Matt Hamill's story. It's an inspirational story, and I get that they were trying to make an inspirational movie, but a lot of it just came off as cheesy to me. The way that they usually do when, you know, we're focusing a movie on a wrestler or on a fighter, it just came off as overtly cheesy, unnecessarily so. And maybe I'm being too critical. Maybe I should look at the movie differently. But when I judge it against other movies, other sports movies of this type, I just don't think it held up.
And now before we go to Nason, did you see was this like a rough cut or was this a screening of the final version?
No, it was a screening of the final version, and they did a Q&A with Matt and with the director and with the Tap Out guys who helped fund it. But from everything I heard, it was the final version, the final print of the movie.
All right, and Nason, you saw it. What'd you think?
Yeah, I saw it 2 weeks ago. One of the producers on the movie had actually reached out and asked if I wanted to do a review on it, and didn't ask for any favoritism or anything like that, and I said, yeah, I'd love to at least review it, and I went into it very objectively, because I wasn't, you know, that interested in seeing it initially, and I knew at some point it kind of come across the way. I liked it. It's definitely non-MMA for sure. There's a little clip at the very beginning and a little clip at the very end, but other than that, it's really about him and coming up as a college wrestler, and I think that was really kind of the main crux of the story, and him, you know, kind of overcome these obstacles with being deaf and his grandfather not really adjusting to it at first and trying to treat him as if he was not different, even though he was, and kind of figuring that out. And the story, I liked it. I thought the story was good. It's certainly not a big budget production by any means. And there's a few little kind of plot threads and things like that that feel enhanced for Hollywood. But overall, you know, I thought it was well worth the watch. I compare some other bad movies I've seen, but overall, no, I thought it was a good movie, and I think it's worth it for somebody that, you know, it's one of those like afternoon movies, or you know, you don't have a lot to do and you just kind of catch it and check it out. But if you're looking for like Matt Hamill UFC fighter, you're not going to get much of this. This is more of a straightforward sports story than anything else. But you know, compared to like Warrior, which I really liked. You know, I obviously would pick Warrior because it's more themed MMA. And I certainly wouldn't put this up with like a top sports movie or anything like that. But for what it was, you know, relatively low budget movie about someone that's not really that well known to the mainstream sports fan. I thought it was worth a watch.
So are you saying it's like an after school movie?
At what type of after school? Like for high school?
I don't know. You just said an afternoon movie. That was the first thing I thought.
Well, you know, like a Saturday afternoon movie, you know, I know you don't really drink, Brian, but, you know, some of us that imbibe a little bit at night on the weekends and just kind of sluggish in the afternoons, you know, sometimes it's good to just kind of kick back for an hour and a half and kind of, you know, just chill out a bit. And
explain this the same way we explained the Kane-Cena storyline, Nason says, crack open a beer and watch The Hammer on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and get hammered.
And
watch
get
the
hammered.
Hammer and get hammered. I think that's a good slogan.
That was a good one. Botter, let's get some plugs in here before we go.
I really don't have much yet. I will be starting with Bleacher Report March 1st. You'll be able to find my stuff on bleacherreport.com on the main page. Myself and fellow Empire member Jonathan Snowden are going to be the two national MMA writers, and you'll be able to find our stuff on a blog that's exclusive on the front page of Bleacher Report. So at that point, you can find me. Right now, I'm kind of not doing anything.
And what about Twitter and such?
Oh, twitter.com/JeremyBotter.
That's easy enough. And
sure enough.
Nason, your social media expertise?
Well, real quick, I do want to ask Jeremy, are you still watching wrestling?
You know, I try. I watch.
Common answer.
I don't see it every week. I usually get interested about WrestleMania time, which so I've kind of tuned in lately, and to be honest, it's been fairly terrible from what I've seen. And I don't know if it's like that all the time, but I don't really understand anything that's going on or why they're doing what they're doing, so I'm kind of losing interest already. Hopefully The Rock coming back will get me interested again.
Did you happen to see the CM Punk Henry Gracie jiu-jitsu demonstration the other day?
I did. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I know Brian put that up on the front page of the Wrestling Observer site. But yeah, I was just interested to see what you uh, Well, because I know you obviously contribute on the board, mostly in the MMA section. But yeah, I didn't know if you were still watching the Squared Circle hijinks or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably, you know, I mean, I will probably find a place to watch WrestleMania. I watched the Royal Rumble because that was the first event I ever went to back in the 80s. I think I went to 89 when Big John Studd won it. That was my first ever wrestling event. Yeah, that was my first ever wrestling event. So
and you're still here. You know, amazing.
Yeah, I'm still here.
That is amazing.
Well, so real quick, my plugs, twitter.com/JoshNason. You can also read my stuff on bloodyelbow.com, obviously on wrestlingobserver.com. If you're listening to this right now, the picks are up from the staff, other than Brian, on the front page of the site. And WGAMMMA.com is a weekly show I do for ESPN Radio New Hampshire. And also in Fight Magazine several times over the course of the year. Just finally got the go-ahead for a piece to run in April's issue, which unfortunately I can't talk about. But it's a guy fighting on UFC Atlanta that should be a pretty interesting story.
And I also want to send a big shout-out here to twitter.com/BrianAlvarez and facebook.com/OfficialBrianAlvarez. And seriously, though, Josh Nason, everybody, for those of you that have said, my God, the daily updates look good. What the hell happened? Well, what the hell happened was Josh Nason, who has been helping us out a little bit behind the scenes. So a lot of those positive changes that you see on the website, that you're like, wow, it's about time that got formatted. Well, thank God for Mr. Nason, a fine gentleman. So he's going to be back.
Are people actually saying that?
Huh?
Are people actually saying that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
I am, for sure.
Okay. I'm saying it for sure. For
That's
sure.
right. Many
thank
people
you, Josh.
Are. Many people are very thankful for that. So anyway,
well.
Everybody, we're going to wrap it up. But down the road, we're going to get Botter back on here, hopefully, unless he just had the worst time ever arguing fuel and Sanchez and such on this program. But we should do more shows like this in the future, Nason. So when you don't have an Atlanta fighter in a main event match scheduled, let's get Botter back here on the show. And hopefully you're down with that too, Botter. So check it out, everybody. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while.